Welcome to Arise Life, a community of believers being equipped, empowered, and released into their destiny. For more information, go to ariselife.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
I have a mixed relationship with Christmas and Easter because I know they mean a lot, but because I've lived my whole life with them, I'm fairly confident they don't mean as much to me as they should. Does anybody know what I mean? You're like, I feel like a lot's going on, but maybe it's just the Easter Bunny. But something God constantly says to me, he says, you can't answer a question somebody doesn't have. And every single one of us have very real questions about life, very real issues, very real pain. And if we live with them unanswered long enough, what do? Give up? Start looking elsewhere? Forget? Ignore?
Like make a story.
Make up a new story to figure out how to justify it? Like, no, I'm not broke. I'm just alternatively financed. Lowered expectations, right? Like, you know, everybody else is so messed up. I'm not really messed up. We're all the same. And so, I mean, the reality is I think all of us can agree this world is pretty messed up, wouldn't you say? I didn't hear anybody going, no, it's great. This world is awesome, right? Okay. Now we could talk about really big reasons why it's messed up, like war and famine. But what are some ways in our lives that are evidences of how messed up this is? Prices. Come on, prices.
Yeah, lack, not enough.
Okay, there you go. Make it spiritual. Lack, not enough, right? Doesn't matter. The prices go up, the income goes down. What else?
Pollution.
What's that?
Pollution.
Come on. All right, what else?
Backstabbing.
Woo! Now you're getting real.
Sickness.
Brokenness,
betrayal,
dysfunction,
greed.
That's a good beginning. Let's not get too depressed. But this world is fundamentally broken, right? If we had an Easter egg, that would be cracked, right? You know, an image to me is of, you know, like not enough, right? Have you ever been where what was coming in was not enough to cover what you had? So what happens to you going forward? You get further and further behind, right? And that's no matter how much you pour in, more pours out, right? But the reality is God didn't design the world to work that way, did he? He designed the world to be a place of love and life with him. He designed it to be a place. We talk about this. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They had everything they needed, everything they wanted. They had purpose. They had destiny. They had each other. They had time with God. They lacked for nothing. But then they did lack one little thing. You know what they lacked?
Wisdom.
Yeah. They lacked me being in charge. Anybody here? You're like, you won't control me. I'll make my own decisions. Thank you very much. And how did that work out for you? Right? Anybody figure out why other people might have been making decisions for you? You're like, That's stupid. I'll go do that myself. Then you found out why. And what happened was Adam and Eve decided we want to do life on our own. And because love is not controlling, guess what God did? He let them walk away. And that lack that they entered into is called sin. See, when they left God, they left the source that they were supposed to live from. Imagine you are a completely solar-powered house. That's great, right? You store up enough to make it through the night. And then the day comes. But what happens if day never comes? Ooh, right? And that's literally what happened because they stepped out into the world God had created. God gave them, and it all started this gradual decline. Less and less and less and less. And it's almost like, it's like a, you start to rob Peter to pay Paul. Let me give you an example. So again, I don't want to trigger any of you all, but let's talk finances. So you have a little more than enough, right? You're living wild, right? Anybody here? You lived a little too wild, and suddenly you found the next month you didn't have enough, right? So then you start moving things around, shoving, which one that I can wait to pay, and then you really don't have enough, and then it's which one do I pay, right? And then you just quit answering the phone, and then like I said, I'm not triggering you, am I? But in that place, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. I'll put it another way. How about relationally? I love you. I love everybody. I love everybody. Oh, not you. Never mind. Okay. Oh, I love you. I love you. Oh, no. You've seen me the way I am. No. I love you. I love you. Now everybody's seen me the way I am. Oh, okay, wait. Nobody sees me. Okay, I'm just going to hang out with the people who believe the lies I'm telling them. Okay, that was creepy. Okay. So the reality is, though, none of us can live in this broken place. We don't do well, do we? We don't do well. And so we try to escape these things. What do we do to try to escape that? I heard check out. La, 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 la. What else? What else do we do to try to escape, to get away from this cycle, to break this cycle?
Therapy.
Denial.
Blame.
Addiction. What was that?
Striving.
Separation. Now, here's my question. You guys seem like you may have done some field research. How well do those work? Well, listen, I don't want to sell you a bad bill of goods. They actually work for a little bit, don't they? Right? They make the pain go down. But the difficulty is I am the one common denominator in my own story. Anybody discovered you ran from all your problems and they followed you like Pigpen's cloud? They followed you like, anyway, they followed you. And so what happens is every time we try to escape, it's like a rubber band that just pulls us right back in, and now worse than it was before. But you know what? God wasn't okay. Even though he wasn't willing to control us to get us back to the life, see, he meant to be our source. He meant to be our life. But he was not okay, even though he knew. He's like, I will not dominate and control you. I will make a way for you to come back. And that's why the verse everybody knows, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I want to break that down really quickly for you because it's really, really, it's such a simple thing, but if you understand it, it changes everything. Because it starts out by saying, for who? God. The story started with God. Paul put it this way, while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God in our own minds, while we were messed up and not looking for God, God went looking for us. For God, it started with God. None of us is worthy. None of us proved ourselves. None of us climbed up and was like, God, I want to let you know I'm willing to join your team. I'm going to help you out. No. For God, so what was his motivation? Love.
Listen, if you have a view of God that has him as manipulative, dominating, controlling, abusive, demanding, judging, guess what? That's not who God is. Because God, John tells us, is love. We talked about this with our youth. One of the things they were asking is, well, how can I 100% know that God is real? Or how can I know, you know, is God going to be exasperated with me like my parents are mad at me? And the reality is we see God the way through the lens of our parents. Anybody had perfect parents? Is that not the best news ever that God is not like our parents? Or if you are a parent, not like you? Right? Isn't that great news? But the reality is God so loved, his motivation in all things is love. God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Now, give. What does it mean to give something? It's not complicated. This is kindergarten. Sacrifice. If I give you a gift, what did you do to earn it? How much control do I have over the gift? Can I choose what the gift is? Well, I don't know. If you give me a gift, I either receive it or don't. If somebody's sitting there going, I don't know about that, what do you think? It's not, no. I received the gift. He said, gave, he gave. What did he give? I can tell you as a parent, there is nothing more valuable. Nothing more valuable. Now you got to understand, God gave his son, but also his son chose to go. He wasn't just sacrificing him. Said, for the foundation of the world, before they made it, they said, you know what? There's a very real chance that this is going to go south. Why? Because we're going to give them free will. You think that's a good idea? I think that's a great idea because that's the only way that they're going to be people who can know love and grow up in love. Yeah, let's give them free will. Wow, that's probably going to go south. What do we do? We're going to have to die. Somebody's going to have to die to make a way. He died. He gave his only begotten son that it said that whoever, what does that word whoever means, by the way?
Anyone.
Or is there any anything that stops you or me from being part of whoever? Whoever means whoever, right? Does what? What's that word? Next word. Believes. Okay, guys. This is not intellectual assent. Like, I believe that Jupiter exists. I've never seen Jupiter. And I'm not resting my entire life on whether Jupiter exists or not. But I'm pretty confident it exists. Doesn't change my life. But we give this example. If I call up an Uber at 3 a.m. in a bad section of Atlanta, and an Uber, a car drives up, I have to make a decision whether I believe in Ahmed or not. Right? What does it mean for me to believe in him? In that Uber driver? Trust? He's not going to kill me? I'm going to have to get in the car. I can say, I believe in you, bro. Keep on rolling. Right? I believe in you. But I'm gonna take it on my own. I'll just start walking. But no, I choose. Now, do I have fuzzy feelings about Ahmed? It'd be weird if I did.
Never seen you before, but you feel like we click.
No, belief isn't about fuzzy feelings. It's about trust. It's about I choose to trust. And trust isn't about a feeling. It's about a choice. Now, my question is, once I get in the car, how am I going to find out if Ahmed was worthy of my trust? He takes you where you go. You trust a little bit. Now, am I going to trust Ahmed more after the trip than before? Yeah, right? Because I trust a little and I grow in that trust. I grow in that trust. Trust is earned, but you still have to always take a step beyond to trust. And so he says, whoever trusts in me will not perish. We'll get to that. What does it mean to perish? Okay, if you've got non-perishables, what are non-perishables? They're things that don't perish. I know that. Right, but okay, let me put it this way. If I put fruit in my refrigerator, what is it going to do? It's going to rot. It's going to perish. These are called perishables. They started out good, they get bad, right? Perish. The thing is, when we disconnect from the source of life, things run down. Things run down. Things get worse. He said, if you believe in me, you plug into me, you will not perish. Why? Because you have an internal source of life. But rather, you will not perish, but you will have what kind of life? Eternal. That doesn't, by the way, people, so we're going to heaven. I don't know about you. Imagine this. You win the Powerball, $1 billion, Merry Christmas. You're like, I'm so glad. I'm going to leave it to my kids. The ticket? You're going to leave them the ticket. You're going to die and leave them the ticket. That's the way most people look at Jesus. They're like, well, good for me when I die. That's eternal life. No, eternal life begins now. It is non-ending, unending. People talk about fusion all the time. It's a never-ending source of energy. This God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is the never-ending source of life. He sent his son to die on a cross, to be raised again, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Believes in him means you're king. You're in charge of me. I trust you. Right? Not my way, but your way. But you know, when Jesus died, he conquered death. The worst, the biggest, showing that he had authority over everything that kills us. Every place we suffer loss, he has authority over it. And he is inviting us into his kingdom where that is true. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, I'll put it another way. One of the most popular phrases throughout the New Testament is this phrase, in Christ, in him, in Jesus. In him, we have a lot of good things. And so we're told that if we are in Christ, there are a lot of good things. Anybody read their Bible? Anybody have an idea what those good things are that are, if you're in Christ, you have? Okay, peace. What else? Joy, authority over evil. Purpose. He has plans for us from before the foundation of the world. Uh-huh. Hope.
Access.
What kind of access?
To power and grace.
To power and grace. Is that, what kind of power is that?
The grace in which we now stand.
Okay, and grace, yeah. So not power over other people, but power to live.
Correct.
Good, okay, just clarifying. Some people are like,
supernatural power.
Supernatural power. In other words, not our own, not of this world. Supernatural. What else?
Adoption.
We're part of the family. We have, and I'll put this, we have access to God, right? Right?
Belonging.
Belonging. Anything else?
Salvation.
Big one. Big one. And I would say salvation is this very thing that he's talking about. The connection to step, to trust in him and allow his life to flow into. Apart from him, we're dead. Salvation. Anything else?
Abundance.
Abundance. In other words, there's more coming in than coming out. Now, I never thought about this till today, but Jesus said right before he stood up on the last day of the great feast, and he said, "Oh, if you believe in me, out of you will flow rivers of living water." And doesn't that sound wonderful? He was in a desert area. Rivers of living water will flow out of you. Now imagine this. God says to you, Masha, out of you will flow tons and tons of money. My first question is, any flowing in? Nobody? Anybody here, God's like, go ahead and give that. And you're like, clarification, right? Right? Let's talk about it, right? What's the difference between a river and just a pipe that's emptying? The source. Something, the amount, but the source that something is flowing into it. See, it's not abundance. If you're giving everything away, that's not good news, unless you're being given more, right? Is that you have a supernatural supply. You have a supernatural supply of life, energy, health, finance. You have a supernatural access. Listen, if you're going to love with no self-protection, if you're going to love fully, yeah. You may not know this, but people are scary. Right? If I'm going to love people fully, and Jesus said, actually, if you do, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get rejected. Yeah. Ah! What kind of supernatural supply would allow me to continue to love? See, most of us, I'm going to out us. Okay, I'll out myself. Forget about you. Just talk about myself. For a lot of my life, the way I've lived is like dealing with God like a payday loan shark or the mafia. I'm a little short this month, so if you could cut me a deal, right? Help me out. It'll be great. And he says, not a problem. 400% interest per month. We should be good. How is this going to work out for me? Not good, right? But we are always going to God just to get by. Just enough. Just barely. I've got a problem. I'm hurting. We're not trying to thrive. We're not trying to live out of abundance. We're just like, can you give me a cup of water? And God's like, I want to release rivers through you. And we're like, I dammed that up, actually. Because I don't have enough, so I can't give until I'm full. And he said, you'll never be full until you give. See, a servant is no less than his master. If you won't live the way Jesus did, you'll never discover the life that God has for you. And you're like, ah! This is what Jesus meant when he said, if you would follow after me, you have to take up your cross. So I want to submit that most of us have actually not accepted the good news of the gospel. We've accepted some sort of transactional payday loan shark. Just enough to get by. Jesus says, either I am your life and your king or nothing. See, he's victor over death. I want to be under him. But I'm going to say another thing. This is where I'm going to poke. You thought I was meddling. Get yourself ready. You remember that phrase, in him? In him, in Christ? Do you know what it tells us? Christ is the head of his body. Now, let me say this. I have cell number 5,432 right here on the right side of my knee. Very well functioning. It's very nice. It actually talks with my brain. My brain tells it what to do. It has a relationship with my brain, with my head, hopefully. It doesn't run off on its own. That'd be weird. But if this, how does this cell get its information from the brain? Nerves. Other cells. No. Don't get it twisted. Just me and God. How does this cell get the nutrients it needs? Through blood. Other cells. I just want to do it, me and Jesus. Most of us have never actually walked out the gospel as he has said it. Christ in you, the hope of glory, but now you are in Christ. You and I are always going to be in lack when we're trying to do it on our own. When we're trying to just get enough to get by and run out and, oh, I'm back on Sunday, give me some more. I'm back on Easter, give me some more. Oh, we're always going to be running around like beggars with not enough. And we'll go, man, I'm not sure about this, Jesus. I'm not sure it really works. Yeah. It's kind of like if you went to Ahmed, I trust you with this thumb. If you could take my thumb back to Ackworth, that'd be great. Ahmed's like, you can use your thumb for something else, right? No, the reality is you and I, we have not yet unpacked the gospel. We are trying to do it on our own or only in part. But Jesus didn't die for part of you. He died for all of you. And you and I cannot experience the kingdom of God in which there is righteousness, peace, and joy at his right hand or pleasures forevermore. We can't experience the life where rivers of living water come out of us, where we have abundance, where we have more than enough, when we continue to choose to live with just one foot in the kingdom. You don't get the benefit of the king until he's your everything. And I would submit to you, I'm not saying you should sign up, by the way. We're not. For those of you who are about to die, I salute you. I'm not kidding. But I would submit to you, if you have not experienced the fullness of the gospel, it's because you haven't entered into the fullness of the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about eternal salvation. That's on Jesus' terms. But if you just signed up for fire insurance, I don't know, keep that fire insurance policy safe. What I want to say to you is this. If you have not experienced the fullness of the kingdom, could it be that there are still parts of your life you're keeping for yourself? Because what was the original thing? I determine. Me, God, I will follow you all the days of my life. From 8 a.m. to 12 midnight. But then I'm off the clock. Lord, I trust you with everything. Except I think you're going to send me somebody super sketch to marry. So I'll take over for that one. Lord, I trust you with all of my financial needs. But not what I do with my money. Lord, man, woo. Lord, I'm pretty sure, you know, there's a parable of the talents where the king gives talents. Talents were tons and tons of money to these servants to invest. You have been given a life to invest. And a couple of them, they risked. By the way, the only way you live in this life is if you risk. If you play it safe, you lose. Anyway, and one guy said he buried it in the ground. And he came back and he talked to the master. And the master said, what did you do with it? And he said, I buried it in the ground. I didn't do nothing with it. I kept it safe. Aren't you happy? He said, because I knew you were a hard master. See, we grow in trust little by trusting him more and more. I'm not saying jump all in. You don't even have that capacity to jump all in. What I'm saying is take one more step into the kingdom, into the very place where you are holding white-knuckled. No, I don't trust you because I think you're out to get me. Ooh, wow, that was a little too real. Right in that very place where I am fundamentally incapable of meeting my own needs, fundamentally incapable of keeping myself safe, fundamentally incapable of that where I'm finding myself hiding from people in that place, I choose to die to my ability to do it my way, and I step in to your kingdom in that area. I'm trusting you in this area. Do you know what trusting God means? Do what he says. Let me try it again. Do you know what trusting means? Do what he says. Okay, who here, when God speaks, when you hear what God said, wants you to do, whatever, you go, can I see a menu? How about option B? God doesn't stutter and he doesn't give options. He is a king. And if you want to operate and live in his kingdom where there is more than enough, you and I have got to live under his kingship. But many of us have ended up with a gospel where Jesus is Santa Claus and the presents never come. I would submit any area where we are struggling and wrestling is an area we haven't surrendered. Because dead people don't struggle. I'm just being real with myself. Any of you know me, I repent before you guys by 2 seconds. I'm up here repenting. Because surrender says it's no longer I who live, but you who live in me. It's not I who determine what I do, but you determine. So here's my challenge today. Okay. When God is putting his finger on something, oftentimes we try to offer him something else. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God goes, what about that? And you're like, hello. Nobody? God's after a certain area, you're like, how about I give more money? Or God's talking about money, and you're like, I've got time. Right? Or God says, be obedient in relationships. You're like, how about I go to Africa? God is, or you look at your neighbor, well, what about them? And I love, Peter's like, Jesus is like, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. And Peter's like, I've seen your sheep, Jesus. I'm not real interested. And he said, what about John? And Jesus said, what is that to you? You follow me. Here's my thing. Don't get complicated. Don't make it all your life. There is one area that God has put his finger on in each of us this morning. Don't offer him up another sacrifice. The only thing he wants is the thing he put his finger on. That is the place, not the hole, but that is the point of where you and I get to die, where we discover that his life is enough for us. Because, see, Good Friday only becomes good because of Easter Sunday with the resurrection. And you and I never discover the resurrection without the death. Paul says that we have died and we have been buried with him in his death. When I step into him and I say, not my will, but yours be done, guess what happens? Suddenly he says, we arise with him and we begin to walk in a totally new kind of life. So my question for each of us today is, what is the area God's putting his finger on for you? For me? That self-determination where I take care of me, I look out for me, I protect me, and say, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. If we could have the worship team come up. I want to say right now that the promises of God are yes and amen. That literally everything God desired for us, literally, he made the Garden of Eden. Eden means pleasure. Pleasure is his idea. He's not been holding out on you. He's not the bad one. The bad one's the mafia boss, the enemy, the devil who's been keeping you enslaved and tormented, constantly robbing Peter to pay Paul, never enough, always in lack. That's another kingdom. But God has called us into a kingdom of abundance and a life, but it's a kingdom under a king. If we can stand, Father, as we come before you today with our offerings, Lord, I ask that you would be our king. Lord, and as we worship, if you want to come forward and lay at the altar that thing you've been holding back, the thing I've been holding back, do it. But as we worship, let your offering be not anything else but the thing he's asked for.
For more information, go to ariselife.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.